RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
A few weeks ago, Monica Schmidt was on this program, RCR Breakfast. She was awaiting the verdict of her case against Victoria Police. And that chat is available from our replay menu of the website and app. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to it. Anyway, Monica is back now with us to tell us about the outcome. Some of you may have already heard about the outcome. Monica, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So it's kind of a bit of a double edge, isn't it? Did you win something, but then you kind of lost something at the same time? Is that how it went?
Well, look, how I'd rather your audience and everyone else to remember is I won.
Yeah.
I won the case. So
yep.
That is the most important thing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I represented myself against a team of two barristers and two solicitors paid for by the government. And I wanted public vindication that I was unlawfully arrested, and I won. That's what I wanted. It was never about the money. However, I didn't expect to then have to pay for the pleasure of winning and proving my case. So, but for those of you who don't know, I won the case, but because the judge awarded me less than the government offered me to not go to trial, in the legal system, that's considered a loss because we could have saved all of that time in court if I had taken a deal. Now, I didn't take a deal. Yeah. So I got offered, $15,000 to not go to trial. My response to the government was, I won't even consider any money unless a public apology is attached to the offer. They refused to give me any type of vindication, private or public. They said that I was not unlawfully arrested and that I had no prospects of success. So I said, well, I want the public vindication, so I'm going to go to trial. During the trial, I got my public vindication. Two out of three arrests were deemed unlawful, which means that I was right, they were wrong. And I got my apology in a sense, because it's a forced apology because they were proven to be wrong, right? So I was very happy with that. But the judge only awarded me $4,000 in damages, which, to be honest, is quite insulting. One of the arrests, she only gave me $1,000. Sorry, there's chickens in the background. Because she said that I was distressed, but I was able to gather myself remarkably quickly. So she awarded me less because I'm a mentally strong person. I got punished.
Yeah.
It's actually crazy, to be honest. So then because the, I will walk away from the chickens, because I only got awarded $4,000, the court system sees that as a loss because of the, because I got offered more in mediation. Well, my argument was that I wanted public vindication. I could not achieve that through mediation. So I got a better outcome for what I was trying to achieve. But unfortunately, the civil courts are all about money. Okay, so they see it as a loss. I disagree. One more thing before I let you ask your next question is that if it's deemed a public interest case, so if it affects numerous other people, it's not really about how many people are watching or are concerned about it, but if it affects other people of the other citizens, then the monetary offer being lower than mediation wouldn't have come into play and nothing bad would have happened. But she said that it wasn't a public interest case, which is hilarious. She said that there were elements of public interest, but she can't claim it to be a public interest case, even though 700-800 people were watching it every single day. Anyway, so because of all of this, I got ordered to pay the cost of the other side minus 30%, which is $250,000.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Understand. So justice is not about justice, it's about the money.
Yes. The civil court is supposed to be about money. And I made it clear from the beginning that I understand that, but to my own detriment, I admitted that it wasn't about the money and that it was about the public vindication. But when I said that, I didn't mean that I wanted to go into the whole $250,000 to prove my point. it's really quite crazy, isn't it?
So just want to ask a few things about what you said just before. The forced apology, what sort of form does that take?
Well, there was three I claimed there was three unlawful arrests, and the judge found that two out of the three arrests were unlawful. Now, that's not the same as actually apologizing, but publicly, I've been proven right. And to me, that's the same as an apology, but not doesn't quite have the same sentiment, though, does it? But you know, yeah. So, I've had to pay for justice, which is, to be honest, a really dangerous precedent to set, that police already feel powerful, but now they're even more further emboldened that they can arrest someone unlawfully and that person will never take them to court, because what if what happens to them happened to me? What if, well, look what happened to Monica Smith. She won her case and then she had a $250,000 cost order against her. So who can pursue justice? And that's really dangerous, and that's why I'm going to appeal.
Yeah, the money that they offered you, what was it, mediation, $15,000?
Yeah.
Okay, here's my suspicious mind working. Was that calculated to be, because if you got awarded a lower amount than that, that you would end up paying for costs if you'd won, some kind of insurance for them?
Yeah, so I knew that this was a risk. I knew about this situation. But I thought $15,000 was too low. I thought I could get more in damages by going to trial. The fact that I'm not a lawyer and they are a huge team of lawyers, they probably knew that, you know, I didn't have a PTSD or I didn't have a medical certificate saying that I was, you know, particularly damaged by this. And so they probably calculated that $15,000 was the right price, that a judge might award that much money. So they knew what they were doing. But if they really wanted to scare me into taking a deal, they should have made it more, I think. But because $15,000 seemed, when I looked at all the case law, seemed ridiculously low for being arrested three times in one day and being put in a divvy van for 45 minutes for no reason. $15,000 seemed insulting, actually.
Yeah.
$1,000 is even more insulting.
Yeah. Though... I'm just trying to think what I'd feel if I was in your situation, and maybe our listeners are thinking the same. And I kind of think, well, it's more valuable to win, and I'd even say go whistle Jack for the money. You're not going to get it anyway. Can you do that?
Look, there's a lot of different things that you can do, but I have litigation coming up as well. So how I handle this is really important.
Right, I got you.
You know, if you go bankrupt, then you can't really pursue litigation. If you cry poor, then you also can't pursue litigation. So I have to be really careful how I deal with this. And I also have to learn to shut my mouth a little bit. I'm a little bit too open.
Okay.
And I wear my heart on my sleeve, and they use that against me in court. They got all my social media, and they, you know.
All irrelevant though, isn't it, Monica? That's irrelevant.
It should be, but the judge seemed very concerned. Listen to this. Very concerned with the fact that I have benefited from this case. That's what she said.
Oh, yes. In what way? Materially reputationally?
She didn't specify. I asked her to specify what she meant, but she didn't. And I don't get $5 per new like on Facebook. We're all censored people like us. We don't get pays per clicks on YouTube and things like that. I don't know what she's talking about, because I have not benefited from this except for the learning experience, and I'm proud of myself, you know, and that makes me a stronger person. That's all fine. But there's no direct monetary measurable value from what I've been through. In fact, I'm in the hole, $45,000 out of pocket of my own money. Now I have to deal with this $250,000 bill. So no amount of publicity for me is worth $300,000. I mean, you're not paying me for this. I don't know what she thinks. I don't know what she thinks I am, but I think she thinks I'm bigger than I am, if that makes sense.
This is interesting because, you know, through this whole crazy time, there's been a lot of talk about judiciary siding with the establishment on all these matters. And I'm just wondering, can you give us an idea? And you probably don't want to say too much about the judge, but what were your impressions? Who is this person? Where did it look like they came from? Because you'd have to be living in some kind of naive bubble not to understand or to be able to think through, you know, your side of it.
really strange. I think people are generally like good people, and I fall for that all the time. And in the courtroom, the judge was so fair and so considerate of my position, patient. She really challenged the defense and challenged me far less than them. It seemed like she was giving me tips and helping me in a sense, and I guess she has to. So I let my guard down a little bit, and I was, not there's anything wrong with being too honest, but you don't have to say everything all the time, right? And I fell for it. I fell for the niceties. She made me feel comfortable. The defense were kind to me as well. And I thought, wow, you know, like, isn't this amazing? And then I was able to talk to my audience and say, there is still hope in the judiciary system. And that's what I wanted to leave this situation feeling. But then the day after the judgment, she turned on me. Like, we're talking a 360 turnaround. And the only thing I can imagine made a difference was that she looked at my social media, and maybe she thought that I was making a mockery of her courtroom by creating a publicity stunt. But the thing is that it was a public courtroom, and what I do with that information is absolutely irrelevant. And it seemed like something changed, and I think that's what it was.
Gosh.
So I don't know. I feel like she was a really good trial judge, but something happened, and it's a shame because now I can't go out there and advocate for the system has a chance, so that it's, you know, that it's all these things. Yeah. So that's really disappointing to me. And, you know, the other side, the day of the judgment, which was that I won the case, 66.6667% of it, they were obviously quite tail between their legs, the defense, you know. And then the next day, after me being awarded ordered to pay $250,000, they were laughing their way outside of that courtroom.
Well, high-fiving kind of thing.
Basically. And it's really weird because I won. But they don't.
Yeah, but it's all about the money though, isn't it?
They don't care.
If there was money awarded against them, then it would have been a defeat for them. But they can go back and say, well, we made her pay. Do you think, Monica, that defending yourself, representing yourself had something to do with it? Because, you know, what do you know, Monica? You're not one of them.
Sure. Absolutely. It might have, especially with the cost argument, I think it definitely worked against me that I wasn't represented. I think during my case itself, I think it was great that I represented myself because I understood the story like perfectly, and I knew exactly why I was there, and I was able to explain things really well. I don't think a lawyer might have been more eloquent in the delivery of things, but I think that was the right decision. But when I appeal, definitely I'm going to have a lawyer because, one, honestly, I'm going to end up in a mental hospital if I keep doing this myself. It's too much. It's like,
No, I won't.
I just mean that if I kept representing myself and going and doing these things like every couple of months, it would be just like, it's just too much to ask for one person.
Through the grinder. No, I get it.
Yeah.
Another question comes to mind. The fact that you didn't kind of play a mentally challenged, mentally ill victim, because these are characters in the cast of a show. Let's think of it like that. And they expect maybe to see some person who is vulnerable, victim, emotionally wrecked. And here you are, because I remember you told me they picked on the wrong chick last time we talked. Yeah. And here you are, you're not any of those, and you don't kind of fit, you know, the central casting role, Monica.
Well, could I have played that role better? Maybe. But the thing is, I made a deal with myself and with God, and I said, I'm not going to over-dramatize my pain or anything because I want to win on principle, you know. And I think that they don't want to advocate for people like me to use the court system to make a point, because you're only supposed to use the court system to get money or to, it's about money, right? Mm. And it wasn't for me. And I think that they had to make an example of me, because how dare you get arrested, not be distressed for it, and then still want to make a point? Like, how dare you do that? And when we offer you a deal, take the deal, because that's how it works. That's what everyone else does. And then we don't have to have the third highest police person on the stand in public with 800 people watching on Zoom. We don't want that to happen. Take the deal, fall in line, you know? And they can't have people doing what I did all the time, you know? But it's going to work against them because when we appeal, it's going to go to the higher court, Supreme Court, which is a better place to set precedent and things like that. And I think they're going to see parts of this decision quite dangerous to democracy and to the fabric of our justice system. I mean, the judge even mentioned my skin color.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? And what was the context of that?
Mate, I mean, she basically said the police aren't going to treat you differently or not think you're a criminal just because you're white, Monica. I was like,
oh, man, talk about loaded up with what?
The context is like I made a side comment during the case that was like a reasonable belief is all about what a reasonable person, even not a police officer, would think walking past and seeing what was happening. My point was a reasonable person wouldn't look at me and think I'm dangerous. And I said, you know, I don't have tattoos. I don't have piercings. I was dressed really like I had a floor length skirt on. You know, my point was that, and I said, I know you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but if a reasonable person was to judge my book by its cover, they would not have seen me as being dangerous on first instant. And I think that's a point, but it wasn't one of my big points. And she used that, twisted it, and said, just because you're white, Monica. I'm like, I didn't say that.
Yeah, well, it's got nothing to do with colour.
Oh, my. But she made it about colour. She's of Asian descent. So something weird happened there. That's why I'm appealing because it's there's some weird things in there that needs to be answered by a higher up judge. And obviously I could lose again, but it's worth a shot. I'm already in deep anyway, so.
You can't give up now. So are people swinging in behind and saying, okay, Monica, don't worry, we got your back. Okay, it's a lot of money, but you'll get there.
A lot of people have asked me if I'm doing a fundraiser and stuff, and I've told people just go and buy something off my website, buy my book, buy my audio book. And during the checkout process, you can actually add some extra money for support if you want to. But I refuse to fund, and I'll tell you what, if I fundraised for this $250,000 fine, I would get the money quite quickly, okay?
Yep.
I don't want to fundraise for dead money that is going straight into the arms of my victimizer, who has been proven unlawful. I refuse to fundraise for that. It's dead money. However, with the appeal, at least there's hope. And so I'm going to fundraise for that because I'm broke and they won't even let me appeal if I don't have money as collateral because I've got a big mouth and I've said that I don't have any money. So I'm going to need to fundraise because, like I said, I need a lawyer this time because it's very... appeals are much more legal arguments. They're less dramatic. They're less emotional, you know. And I definitely can't do this one on my own. And I think it's humble to admit that I can't do everything, you know.
And
I've got the I've got the right person for the job. So there will be a fundraiser for that. And if we get costs back, the system that you use for fundraising, you can refund all the money in like a few clicks. So if I get all my legal costs back, everyone will get their money back. And wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Who does that, right?
It's all about the principle in the end, isn't it? You got to have principles. And I get why you wouldn't want to raise the money and hand it over to them. I get that.
No way. But I'll use it to try to get them again. And the reason why someone would fundraise is not because... the reason why someone would contribute is not because they like me, okay? It's that we don't want to set a precedence that you can pursue justice, win... and then lose everything you have for it. It's not okay. It's really super dangerous. And that's why I'm appealing it.
Here's a question. Do you think, and maybe you haven't been around long enough to know, but do you think there was a time before this that, well, maybe you wouldn't have been arrested like you were before this, but do you think that something's changed? Because, you know, we're following the news from Australia in the bigger picture, digital IDs for kids to access social media, or banning them from social media, but giving them digital IDs. There's the mis and disinformation legislation at the moment. There's all sorts of things. Sounds like the walls are closing in, and it'll probably happen here, for Australians right now. It's getting really quite dark, sounds like, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've been quite consumed with my own issues that I haven't, I'm not up to, as up to date with those things. But, you know, squashing political dissent and squashing justice is all part of that. It's making people scared to speak their mind, to follow through with their principles. And it's all part of the same agenda to put us in our boxes. Mm. Stay in your box, because if you don't, you will suffer because of it. And the only way around that is for people to keep speaking the truth, even when it's uncomfortable. And that catches on, you know, it's a domino effect. All you need is sometimes one person in the room to say, wait a second, this doesn't sound right. And then everyone else who thinks the same says something too, because they feel safe to. So you need to be that person. And that's the only way that we can beat censorship. Stop self-censoring.
And the book is Cell 22, isn't it?
Cell 22. There's an audio book. It's only $10. And I read it myself.
You voice it? Yeah.
Yep. I read it myself. It took me 24 hours. And the book is only 8 hours long, though. So, yeah. That'd be great if people could buy the audio book.
And you're at monicasmit.com.
That's it.
All right. Well, good to catch up, Monica. You're a great battler. I mean, I don't need to tell you, but I will anyway.
I appreciate it. Keep an eye out for the appeal. It's going to happen quite quickly. Appeals happen really quickly. So we'll be onto it again.
And hopefully we can talk again as that thing sort of runs through at the opportune moment. All right?
I hope so. Thank you so much for your time. See ya.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.